This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting is now underway for the city of San Antonio's runoff, and one of the districts in play is District 1. District 1 covers the cultural heart of the city in San Antonio. This is where there is development and infrastructure improvements. This is where they take place center stage. In the May 6th elections, incumbent Roberto Trevino received 49% of the vote. Technology attorney Michael Montonio was the leader among the challengers with 31%. Today, they join us to answer your questions, and they're looking for your vote. And if you don't live in District 1, they're looking for your moral support. Now, you can call in. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We flipped a coin earlier to see which candidate will begin with their opening statements. And after that, we'll go to questions from listeners. We got a bunch of email questions and a bunch through our voicemail as well. And if one candidate characterizes the other's position on an issue, then we have an opportunity for a fair response. So let's go ahead and start off with Michael Montonio. You have 2 minutes to give your opening statement.
Yes, thank you, David. I am Michael Montonio. And thank you for doing this show. I'm also a huge fan, I have to say, of Texas Matters. I think my favorite episode is the one about the West Texas boroughs, which was a lot of fun. A little bit about me. I was born and raised here in San Antonio. I grew up on the South Side. But through a lot of hard work and sacrifice on the part of my parents, I was able to go to Central Catholic High School downtown in District 1 before moving on to Yale College and the Stanford Law School. Now, throughout my life, I have been involved in public service in one form or another. Even in high school, I volunteered on Maria Berrio Salas' first congressional run. And then later on, you know, I continued that, right? I ran statewide voter protection for then-candidate Obama in 2008, and even worked in Mayor Castro's office on energy policy when I was in law school. But I've never forgotten where I've come from, and I think deep down what motivates me is a sense of injustice about the way many neighborhoods are treated in the city. You know, the one I grew up in still has potholes that have been there since I was a kid, you know, 6 and 8 inches deep. And no one ever pays attention to many of the average residents in District 1. So my priorities are pretty straightforward. I want to focus on being a champion and a voice for the residents. And that means focusing first and foremost on those basics of neighborhood infrastructure and public safety. We've seen a deterioration in both over the past year, and certainly infrastructure has been neglected for a long time here. I also want to focus on transformative projects for San Antonio, like mass transit, in which we need real leadership. And lastly, I really want to focus on using much of what I've learned in the technology industry to transform government and make it more accessible to average residents through projects like open data, and make it more inclusive through necessary charter reforms.
All right. Now let's go to the incumbent, Roberto Trevino.
Thank you, David. Hi, I'm Roberto Trevino, your current city councilman, and I have been a proud resident of District 1 for almost 20 years, an active member of the community as a neighbor, small business owner, and a faithful public servant. Prior to being on council, I served our community on several boards and commissions. Because of my record of service, Mayor Julian Castro and Diego Bernal asked me to represent the city of San Antonio at the Bear Appraisal Board of Directors. My service experience has inspired me to want to give back even more to my community. When Diego Bernal decided to run for state representative, he encouraged me to seek the District 1 seat. Since then, I was given the honor of serving my district as councilman. Since day one, my background as an architect has helped me understand and address the most important issues that face our neighborhoods with innovative and responsible, actionable solutions. District 1 is the heart and soul of our city and leads the way for the future of our community. It is important to keep the experience and momentum we have established to continue building on our accomplishments.
Okay, let's go to questions now. We have some questions of voicemails that we got from our listeners, a lot of them, more than usual. So let's go ahead and start off with that. And this is one that we got from David.
My name is David. My question is, there are going to be at least 5 new council members and maybe even a new mayor after these elections. How do you balance the value of experience versus new perspectives?
Okay, and we want to go first, Michael Montonio.
Sure. It's always important to have fresh blood. And the exact number, you know, of new people on council, I entrust that to the residents of the various districts from which they're elected. Experience is good. I'm very proud of my experience in and out of government. I've been very, very pleased to work across nonprofits, government, and the business sector for the past, you know, year since graduating from law school and before. So that gives me a unique ability to craft solutions that draw from all three of those sectors that make up our local economy. And that sort of cross-cutting interdisciplinary thinking is what will drive my policymaking at City Hall. And frankly, having worked in Mayor Castro's office, I have a keen sense of what's required to drive things at City Hall, to move an agenda forward, to build coalitions across council. And I look forward to putting that experience into practice as a council person.
And now, Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. It's a great question because it's really at the heart of how we introduced ourselves today. You know, my background has helped me understand many, many issues, but it's also been an evolutionary process of being a part of many boards and commissions to understand exactly all the issues that are facing our cities or our city over the last 20 years, for example. So I think that it's vitally important to understand that there is a need to have someone who is understanding the issues, who's currently understanding the role the District 1 council member plays in driving the city. District 1 is a very unique city, and in the opening statement by yourself, David, you mentioned it's the cultural heart of our city, and so being a part of the projects that have been going on ongoing for many years is really vital in this particular race. Having somebody that understands where those came from, who's involved, understanding the importance of our boards and commissions, and how they're very much play a role in helping to set policies for our city.
Okay, let's go to another caller really quick. This is our voicemail, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura. I have a question for Councilman Trevino. Councilman, I'd like to know what is in your plan to ensure that historically underrepresented people, particularly women of color, are not forgotten in the arts and culture funding and programming in the city. We know that the tricentennial is coming up. We know that we have the Office of Art and Culture. But if you look at the funding sources, we see that particularly Mexican-American women and African-American women, our funding streams and organizations is very low. So I wanted to know what you were doing to ensure that there's equity in funding for people who historically have not gotten significant funding from the city.
All right, that's a really key question. And it was directed at Councilman Trevino, but I think both of y'all can answer it, talking about what can we do to make sure that there is equity in the distribution of many of the grants, particularly for arts, for different gender and different positions that we have in San Antonio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get our answers from both of our candidates for District 1. Also, if you got a question for them, you can give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 1 residents will choose between incumbent Roberto Trevino and Michael Montano to represent them on San Antonio City Council. Both of them in the studio this afternoon to take your questions, 210-614-8980. Earlier, we had a question from our voicemail from Laura asking about women of color not being forgotten in the arts in San Antonio and talking about our culture. So, Councilman Trevino.
Thank you. Great question, Laura. You know, the bigger issue here is we really want to have a very inclusive government. And as you know, I also believe strongly that our arts and culture is something that we need to accentuate and we need to thrive here in San Antonio. And I think that it's a beautiful time for our city because we are doing so many great things, but we want to keep moving that needle forward. As you know, you may or may not know, we started a program called Distinction in the Arts Award that celebrates our local artists, our local arts and culture leaders. We also helped to save Centro de Artes as a Latino-focused gallery so that we do not lose more space to equity. And so the other issue is that we talk about we have an Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and it's a small office, and I've always pushed to increase the role that office plays in a lot of our programs. One example is something that I'm very proud of, and just a couple weeks ago, we have for the first time ever in the history of the city, Spanish engagement officer that is really, truly helping us with translation services.
All right, now to Michael Montano.
Sure, I appreciate the question. And just to answer it directly, you know, diversity in the arts is extremely important, lest we sort of develop a monoculture of what constitutes art. And let's start with some specifics. So I do think that we should have ensure that we have diverse selection committees for those funding mechanisms. And I think that artists should be the ones picking artists and art for support, not politicians. You know, but it also goes beyond the arts. We need to ensure that we pass an ordinance that requires gender balance across all boards and commissions. And then we should also think about how we really address systematically pay inequity. You know, women in this country earn 81 cents on the dollar to men. In Texas, it's 65 cents on the dollar. And for Latinas in San Antonio, it's 44 cents on the dollar. That is a tremendous amount of wealth over a person's lifetime that is being left on the table. And it's not that girls are falling behind. It's that we're leaving girls behind. And we need to take, you know, affirmative action to stop that.
All right, let's go to the phone lines for a live caller, and the number to call in is 210-614-8980. Robert is on the line. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. One of the concerns I have is the neighborhoods around the downtown area that are, seems like a bunch of investors are coming in, taking over the neighborhoods, values are going up. And I say to myself, what about local residents that can't afford these high values? What about elderly? Do y'all have a solution to that? Of local people have been there for years being displaced because of this situation?
All right, Robert, thank you for that question. And that goes to the heart of the gentrification. And so let's go Michael Montano.
Sure. Robert, I feel your pain. And I hear it from the many, many residents that I've on whose doors I've knocked over the past several months. Look, I have uniquely proposed a comprehensive neighborhood stabilization plan to address exactly the issue that you're concerned with. There's a number of planks to it. I'll highlight a few. I think we need to invest in neighborhood land trusts, which can help people stay in their homes over time. We should consider moving towards, at least in part, some income-based property tax abatement, what in some places is called a circuit breaker tax. And of course, we should invest in owner-occupied rehab for those people who otherwise might get pushed out. In short, you want to make sure that we protect the cultural integrity of long-standing neighborhoods and don't allow an overheated market to push people out. And that means standing up as a council person and fighting for the residents and the neighbors themselves and promoting their priorities. And that means stopping ill-fitting development in many of these older neighborhoods near downtown.
Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. Yes, and I think that's a great question. And there's, you know, there's many things that we've been talking about. Circuit breakers is something we've been talking about since we were on the Diverse and Dynamic Neighborhoods in 2014. We're hoping to implement as a board member of the Bear Appraisal Board of Directors. This is something I'm working with Chief Amesquita to help help push for the city of San Antonio. But it's also important to note that we have to do some actionable items right now. One of those is a protection of the existing aging housing stock. And one of the issues that we had early on was a building that was going to be demolished literally almost days after I got appointed to council. And there's a lot of pressure to demolish homes, a lot of our aging housing stock. And so we have to find ways to help protect that housing stock, help to protect people in their homes and let them age in place. We started a program called San Antonio Under One Roof that has been immensely popular. It saves people on their utility bills. We've done 38 homes, okay. And we're very immensely proud of it.
All right, let's go back to another caller. This is Dustin. And Dustin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a concern and question for both candidates. Since the mayor of New Orleans made national news when he chose to take down a number of Confederate monuments, there have been people here locally that talk about wanting to remove the Confederate statue in Travis Park, and I just wanted to know their thoughts on that statue.
Dustin, thank you for that call, and that goes to Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you, David. Thanks for that call. So this has been an ongoing issue, and much like the other monuments that we have throughout the city, this is an important piece to tackle. I've been working with our Department of Arts and Culture over the last year and a half, 2 years, to really think about a thoughtful approach. They will be bringing the recommendation to me, to council, to help us better understand exactly what this means. You know, quite frankly, What we do know is that the determination that has come from Arts and Culture is that it's not public art. It is recognized as a monument to power. But one of the things that I think that's important is that we have some layers and layers of diverse history in this city. And so how do we put our history into context? Is a relocation possible? Of course, if that's the recommendation that comes back, I'll certainly push for the recommendation that comes from our Public Arts Board.
Okay, now Michael Montonio.
My recollection is that when this issue first came before Council and Commissioner Calvert recommended removing it, Councilman Trevino's response was to put up a number of placards that put quote-unquote balance around the issue by highlighting civil rights icons. In my view, let me just cut to the chase about this. This monument is a monument to the Confederacy, and it needs to be removed. If they can do it in New Orleans, if they can remove the Confederate flag in other states around this country, we should be able to stand up clearly and offer a direct opinion about this and say it should be removed to a museum, perhaps, where it is appropriate, but it is not appropriate on public land, and no amount of whitewash is going to change that.
Okay, let's go to an email question that we received, and our number, if you want to call in, is 210-614-8980, as we have the two District 1 candidates in the runoff with us this afternoon, Roberto Trevino and Michael Montagno, who are in the runoff for San Antonio City Council District 1. So here's an email question. Several weeks ago, a man in a motorized wheelchair was crossing Vance Jackson. He was struck by a truck. Other disabled individuals in wheelchairs in that district are forced to wait for VIA buses in the street because there's no accessible sidewalk at the bus stops in that area. It's right by the councilman's headquarters, I believe. So let's go ahead and start off with Roberto Trevino. What's your response to that?
That's an important issue, no doubt. And which is why we've been pushing for sidewalks since day one. We have a bus stop literally right in front of the field office that never had a pad or even a cover. We worked with VIA to make sure that we provided that. I think the bigger issue is the capacity in which we're able to do the projects throughout the district, in fact, throughout the entire city. And so we're working to increase our budgets, but also to increase the capacity in which we can get to those things and then prioritize safety concerns, which is why we have focused on different areas where we know that there's high traffic and have worked with other council offices to provide some design solutions that can help make our roads safer through Vision Zero.
Okay. Now, Michael Montagno.
When that accident happened, the gentleman and people who tweeted about it were told that he should have used the crosswalk. Now, the gentleman, as it turns out, that was struck did use the crosswalk. And unfortunately, he was still struck in part because the walk signal wasn't functioning properly. We have a tremendous backlog of infrastructure in this District 1, and much of it is streets and sidewalks, right? So I would think about most issues that come before my desk in those terms when it comes to the budgeting process. Does X, Y, or Z project fundamentally address the basic concerns that residents of District 1 are asking to be addressed? So when it comes to a choice between a toilet for downtown or an additional handicap accessible street corner or sidewalk, I'm going to choose the latter every single time. It's not that complicated, and we need to put a greater emphasis on delivering a greater portion of the budget to those projects every year.
Okay, now we have another call from our email, voicemail.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I am a resident of District 1, and just had a question for Michael Montagno. I had read previously that he was against police having body cams, and I just wanted to ask if that was true. And if it is true, then why he would be against that. It's definitely a deal breaker for myself. It's obviously a big issue right now around the country.
Okay. So, Michael Montagno, are you against body cameras?
I love this question because it gets right to the heart of the kind of nuanced political discussions and policy discussions that it's difficult to often have. The question was asked, do you support body cams for all police officers? And my answer to that question was no, because I don't think that a person in a trading academy or a detective seated behind a desk whose job is to sit there and do analysis needs a body camera. To mandate that those have body cameras is a giveaway to body camera vendors. However, any officer who is in the field, who interacts with civilians, absolutely ought to have a body camera, and it ought to be on. So if we're talking about the actual issue that people are concerned about, I concur. We want to make sure that people are safe and that we have a record that it's recorded through a body camera. It's a great idea. Let's just have some nuance about, you know, the questions that we ask and the questions that we answer.
Okay. Now, Roberto Trevino.
I find that a little disingenuous. I mean, nobody's talking about putting body cameras on anybody that's sitting on a desk. I think it's important that we know that we have our police officers out on patrol with body cameras, and it's a pretty simple common sense question.
So basically you're in agreement that officers who are out on the field should be wearing body cameras. That's
absolutely
yes.
That's correct. Okay. And that people who are not in out in the field, they're in the office, they don't have to wear body camera.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, so what we're going to do now, let's go to another email question, another from Kelly. This is about loose dogs in District 1, and so can you please talk about how you're going to deal with the dog problem, Michael Montaño?
Sure. Well, as many people know, we have had a number of attacks from dangerous animals that's been on the rise over the course of the past year in District 1. It's important to keep two things in mind. We have to respect the dignity of our four-legged friends and also the safety of our two-legged neighbors. And that means fully funding ACS and associated nonprofits to make sure that we have a true no-kill policy, rather than a no-kill policy that's propped up with disingenuous number games. So it can't be the case that we call ourselves no-kill just because we refuse to pick up dangerous animals or we re-release them. We have to fully fund these departments to get to a true no-kill policy.
Now, Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. I think it's education, and we worked hard to make sure that we push education and utilizing our resources at ACS and all our partners to make sure that we educate the public about how important this is to all of us. We are working very hard all spring to make sure that we're creating a community outreach about this very important topic. You know, I think that no-kill is a policy that has been developed for many years, and it's an admirable one, and we need to stick to it. And so I think that's important to point out. I would point out that my opponent said he would like to revisit the no-kill policy.
Okay. All right. Real quick. You got like 10 seconds to respond to that.
Yeah, that's...
I tell you, when we come back, we're going to talk more about dogs, because this is a question we get all the time, and I think we need to come up with some real solutions to this real problem. We're talking about District 1 and the runoff race for that. If you got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 1 residents get to choose starting today, because early voting starts today, between the incumbent Roberto Trevino and Michael Montaño, who will represent them on San Antonio City Council for District 1. Before we went to break, we had a question about loose dogs and how they're causing a problem. It's a problem all over the city. And so both of y'all reiterated your support for the no-kill solution that we have in San Antonio, but there's some issue about whether or not that is enough. You know, City Council is looking at revisiting the animal control ordinance. There may be in there a line about mandatory spay-neuter. And when that's come up in other debates, they say, yeah, but then, you know, we had to make that free. But we make it free now, available in many districts. And animal control officers do everything they can to get people to bring their animals to these free spay-neuter events, but they don't show up. It seems like there is a lot that needs to be done in order to get people to take advantage of the free opportunities now to spay-neuter. So first off, can you, it was brought up, Michael Montaño, whether or not you actually support the no-kill policy, and then do you support the spay-neuter requirement, and what else can we do? Talk about getting maybe a permanent full-time animal control officer for District 1. That's also been brought up. So where are you on those issues?
Yeah, again, to be clear, I fully support no kill. I do think we need to be clear about the underlying data and be realistic about what the situation currently is. You can't address a problem unless you're willing to face it head on. In this case, we have an underfunded system. We don't have a designated person from ACS for District 1. We need those things in order to actually achieve the goals that we hope to achieve, which are both humane treatment for animals as well as respect for the safety of our two-legged friends. We've had some vicious attacks on people and on livestock in the past couple of years. And until we acknowledge that, allocate resources properly, we won't be able to move forward. Now, as for the mandatory spay-neuter, yes, I think that's a good idea. Other cities have done it in Texas, and we could do it here. As you stated, we do want to make sure that it respects the different economic situations of people in our city and that we make it freely available to the extent possible to residents of District 1. But another option is also to include some requirement that people take a good pet ownership class to help them be good pet owners.
All right. Now, Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, again, I'm supportive of our no-kill policy that has been ongoing. It's something that's been worked on for so many years. And again, at the heart of all this is making sure that we provide our resources and educational opportunities for those that are wishing to have pets. And at the heart of that is also kind of some of the available resources that we hope to give to many of our residents to safely keep their pets at home. Put out a CCR on tethering animals and how important it is to know exactly how to tether animals, how to make sure that people are aware of how their pets are confined is an important piece. But it's part of an overall community outreach that ACS is working with our office. And we do have a need for more resources, which we will push in our budget. I want to say that our ACS representative has been doing a great job, and we do want more attention in District 1, of course.
All right, now let's go back to our voicemail, and this is a question that we got from Alan.
Hi, this is Alan, and I live in District 1, and my question is in reference to the endorsements the two candidates received. I wanted to know where both of the candidates stand in relationship to our city manager, the continuation of her contract and the work she's been doing for the city, and how that decision will or will not be impacted by the endorsements they have received.
Okay, our city manager, Cheryl Scully, she sometimes comes up as an issue in these council races. So where are you, City Councilman Roberto Trevino, on Cheryl Scully retaining her job as city manager?
I've been very, very vocal about working with our city staff and what a great city staff we have. And at the helm is our city manager, Cheryl Scully. I feel that she's been doing a great job, and certainly this is a part of how our city is run. Again, it's important to understand all the moving pieces that are occurring within our city, and the relationship of a city council office and working with city staff on managing the city and all the different aspects. We've been working with our city manager on. Her evaluation for her bonuses, and I think she's responded very well. But I think it's an important piece to understand that it is a big job, and San Antonio is an incredibly diverse and complex city.
All right, now Michael Montaño, Cheryl Scully, city manager.
Sure. Well, I'm very proud to say that my campaign has been endorsed by 14 different Democratic, labor, and community-based organizations. It's an incredible coalition we've built. Now, as for the city manager itself, you know, in many ways, there's a number of things you need to do, right? First of all, there isn't enough oversight, I don't think, of many of the city projects that we have right now being provided by council. Council needs to really step up and take its oversight role seriously. You see a lot of streets that are fixed one week and then they're busted the next. We also should think about how our incentives are tied. For any city manager, to increases in the average income of residents in San Antonio, not just the absolute number of new jobs created. And lastly, you know, we got to think seriously about charter reform, right? No one can question the technical competency of Ms. Scully. I would question whether any city manager should have as much power as a current one does. Every other great city in America has a strong mayor system, and we need to use charter reform to move towards that.
Okay, so wrap that question up and move on to charter reform. That is something that is coming up now in San Antonio, and there are several issues being talked about for charter reform. Michael Montano, what would you like to see on the charter ballot?
Well, first and foremost, I do think moving to a strong mayor system is important. As I said, every other great city in America, from San Francisco to D.C. to New York to Chicago and L.A., they all have it. And what that allows you to do is, of course, continue to hire technically competent people like Ms. Scully to manage much of the day-to-day, but it creates real democratic accountability within our city. So that if voters themselves don't like the direction our city is moving, they can actually vote out directly the person who is at the helm. Our city council right now is treated like a corporate board. We don't even take transcripts of our city council meetings. We just do minutes. That is no way to run a local democracy. And if we don't take affirmative steps to change that, we as a city will never achieve the full potential that our residents deserve.
And Councilman Roberto Trevino, changes to the charter, what would you put on there?
Well, there's a couple things that are actually on there that I've already put on, but I just want to respond a little bit to some of the issues that were brought up right now, and that's we do provide minutes for our meetings, but all our meetings are recorded. So anybody wishing to watch any of our meetings, they're absolutely available word for word. I think it's important for us to look at what are some of the issues that are in the charter that are the issues that we're currently facing today. One of those is the Planning Commission. I took that on because I felt like our Planning Commission is not representative of our city. It's an at-large position, and unlike our Zoning Commission, where we get to select the commission members to better represent the districts and bring equity to the entire city, they're an at-large position, and currently they all exist mostly on the north side. We also have requested a real transformation of our ethics policies in the city to have an independent ethics officer completely independent of our city.
Okay, a question from our email stack, and this is from Daniel. What will the candidates do to make sure neighborhood associations are part of the discussion with new developments? So, Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. Well, again, I go back to what I was just saying. I mean, one of the issues that we saw was that originally the Planning Commission, the way it's structured, is focused in one part of a town, and doesn't allow our offices to necessarily have a working relationship with those commissioners. And of course, that means that translates to neighborhoods. So we have that in the charter review right now. We're looking to get better representation, because I think that Planning Commission and Zoning Commission working together are vitally important. We've also done a review of our IDZ zoning, which you know, at first was set up to help incentivize a lot of growth and development, but we really need to take a closer look, make sure that it is not being used in a way to adversely affect neighborhoods. We've done a review of our demolition procedures, a review of our completely changing the building standards board. All these things come into play, and I'm out of time.
All right, yes. And so, Michael Montano, your response. Neighborhood associations.
Yes. Neighborhoods generally should be and are, in fact, the basic unit of self-organization in this city. It's how people identify. It's how they think about ordering their private lives in their communities. So we need to elevate them. And I agree that we should have some reform of the planning and zoning commissions. It's conceivable even to combine them and to require specifically that any larger commission have direct representation from each of the districts, some of which is out of the hands of the councilmen. I would like to see neighborhood associations together within the district have their own appointment power to ensure that one of their own is a member of that commission. I think that will protect the interests of people at the grassroots local level, at least in part. The other part is to have a champion on the dais at City Hall who respects and elevates the preferences and desires of average neighborhood residents. And you see a lot of complaints right now about disruptive development throughout District 1. I believe in development that makes community, and I'm steadfastly opposed to development that breaks community.
Okay, we're speaking with the two candidates in the runoff for District 1 for the City Council. We've got multiple City Council seats that are in runoff, and early voting starts today. We've also got the race for mayor in the runoff between incumbent Ivy Taylor and Ron Nuremberg. So early voting will continue until Tuesday, June the 6th, and Election Day is scheduled for Saturday, June the 10th. If you got a question for our two candidates as we go into our final segment, we invite you in. The number to call is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 1 residents can choose between the incumbent Roberto Trevino and Michael Montano to represent them on San Antonio City Council. Early voting starts today, and Election Day is Saturday, June the 10th. And we have another call from our voicemail.
And good afternoon. My name is Guylin, and I'm just wondering, how do the candidates actually feel about transparency? With all the stuff that's going on in Washington, there appears to be a lack of transparency, and I'm just hoping that the lack of transparency does not filter down into state and local politics. And I kind of wonder, as being a resident of San Antonio for over 20 years, I'm really wondering about transparency. Is that something that our city council people that are running Trevino and Montana, do they really care about that? And how are they going to protect and make sure that everything's transparent?
Okay. And let's start off with Michael Montano with your response about transparency.
Sure. I believe very, very strongly in that. That's one of the reasons I don't think that a live recording of city council meeting that you have to watch back minute by minute is a sufficient record of what transpires at City Hall. In my view, every city council document, every meeting, every word that is said in those halls, including email metadata and telecommunications metadata, should be public to the extent that it is permissible to be public. And it should be available online in real time via APIs. And my technology industry experience will be crucial in making sure that our Office of Innovation moves quickly in that direction to make public data truly public. It is an incredible resource for government watchdogs, and it is also the feedstock for the kinds of technology companies that we need to build to attract the next generation of high-tech workers to San Antonio.
Okay, and now Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Thank you. I think this is an important question, and at the heart of everything we've always done and championed in District 1, which is why we want to be as inclusive as possible with all our policies, whether it's creating a Spanish engagement officer to talk about how many of our, no matter what we communicate, we never actually communicated it in Spanish. And we have a large Spanish-speaking population. And it's hard to believe that in 2016 and now 2017, that we have a city like San Antonio that never had a policy regarding Spanish translation. And so it's these kind of policies that I think are very, very important. Certainly, we're very open. There are opportunities for folks to join City Council, to always be accessible to our constituents, to talk to them about the many ways they can be involved with boards and commissions. And, of course, we have to be mindful that the business of the city is important, that we express every day to all our constituents, and they understand exactly why the decisions are being made.
I got a question from our email. This is from Lynn. The SA 2020 plan calls for infill development in close in neighborhoods to accommodate the city's expected growth. So how can this be accomplished as neighborhoods resist change by requesting historic designation and protesting zoning changes to more dense zoning? So Councilman Trevino, what to do about infill development and how that we see that's maybe something that the city wants, but maybe neighborhoods aren't so crazy about.
Yeah, well, I think it really boils down to good communication, collaboration, and everybody working together to find what is a good fit. The bottom line is that there's an important piece here where we have to recognize that we want to bring folks together, whether it's the neighborhood and developers. I like to bring the American Institute of Architects and other folks to help moderate and bring some level of understanding of why these processes are occurring. I think the reality is there's processes in place, and our role is to figure out exactly what are those loopholes within those processes that we can try to alleviate or fix. But we have to do that together. We have to try to work with our development services department, as I mentioned, neighborhoods and developers and architects alike.
Okay, and now Michael Montano.
Sure. Look, we want density where density is appropriate. We don't want density where it's not appropriate. And that's consistently echoed throughout the neighborhoods of District 1. So, of course, downtown is great for high-density buildings. What you shouldn't have is a 3- or 4-story house or a condo building in the middle of a single-family block where the houses are one story. No one wants to live next to a tower that blocks the sun out. And when we do density downtown where it's appropriate, or on the main thoroughfares where it's also appropriate, we need to make sure that we have missing middle development so that it's a nice scale down from the 4- or 5-story buildings to the single-family, single-story homes. And we need to impose requirements, loath that we are to do that, that require mixed-income development, require bike lanes, require wide sidewalks that can support cafe life, and that have affordability set-asides so that working people can afford to live near where they work.
Okay, Bill has called in, and let's get him on the air. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with the two candidates for District 1.
Yes, good afternoon. They answered a question earlier, at least. It added, seeming to embrace this thing about transparency. That's fine. I'm wondering, what do you think about requiring that same transparency applies to the union contracts in the future, as well as accountability? That's an easy one to answer, so I like a straightforward answer, if I may.
All right, Bill, thank you for the question. Does transparency that you've talked about supporting, does that also apply to the police contract? And Councilman Roberto Trevino.
Yes, absolutely. I think that that's something that we talked about with these first steps, and we're currently in process of reviewing the union contracts to make sure that this is something that is vitally important to all of us, to make sure there's some real accountability. And as my colleague Councilman Ray Saldana pointed out, there's some issues that we'd like to tackle over the next 5 years as we approach the next negotiation of that police contract. But also on the table right now is the fire contract, and we want to make sure that as we're moving forward, we're doing a good job of letting the community know what's all in those contracts and the responsibility of City Council to make sure that this is a thoughtful contract.
Okay. Now, Challenger Michael Montano.
Absolutely. And I'm very happy to say that I've received the endorsement of both the Police Officers Association and the firefighters. And what I've said to all parties is the same. Show me the data. Show me the underlying data about what's in the contracts, and we can have an honest and open discussion about that. Fortunately, the contracts are currently available publicly online, so anyone who wants to take the time to go read that somewhat dense legal document is able to do so. I'm very thankful for that. But you know, one thing I have to think about, too, is the role that the police officers and the fire department play in the creation of middle-class jobs in our city. We haven't done a great job of that as a city, of creating more middle-class opportunities. And I'm thankful for any industry or public service that allows that to be fostered so that people can help their children and their children's children achieve some semblance of the American dream.
Okay. And so one quick question for both candidates. And I'll start off with you, Michael Montano. Where are you on bringing light rail to San Antonio?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, and I have a very direct answer on that. I think mass transit is an essential part of any 21st century city's transportation infrastructure. Every other great city in America, and in fact the world, has some sort of mass transit system, whether it's bus rapid transit or rail, and I support both for San Antonio, where they are appropriate. A tourist trolley for downtown is not enough. The residents of the city, I think, properly rejected that specific proposal. But we do need to invest, as Dallas did many years ago, in a system that covers all of the city and binds us together as a community. That's what's so great about the systems in places like New York. You have a billionaire seated right next to a homeless person. It creates empathy, and it creates a real transportation solution that gets people to work reliably for business and helps people who want to drive have less clogged roads to drive on.
Now, Councilman Roberto Trevino.
I think we do need to explore a rail system. In fact, we need to explore a rail system that has a very thoughtful approach about who we are here in San Antonio, but how we exist regionally. The corridor between San Antonio and Austin is an important corridor, and understanding that these both of these metropolises are sort of combining to become a megapolis, working together with other communities like New Braunfels and San Marcos and all along the corridors. We have to create a thoughtful approach to what this means for all of us. And sitting on the Alamo MPO, I think this is something that we've all been discussing. We've been talking about a very thoughtful, professional assessment of what can happen and how we can make it work so that it benefits the entire region. And that is an approach I think we can bring to voters.
Okay, now let's get your closing comments. Now starting off with Councilman Roberto Trevino, you get 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Well, again, I believe, again, that District 1 is the heart and soul of our city. And during my tenure, I have worked to empower the residents of District 1 by developing policies that return control of their neighborhood back to them and through educational forums and fairs, bond block parties, public safety forums, property tax forums, and so forth. Thousands of conversations with my residents have motivated me to fight and advocate for the greatest portion of the largest bond in our city's history, $850 million bond that has passed. That's $10 million in new sidewalks, a $21 million new San Antonio Public Safety Center City headquarters, $20 million in vital drainage projects, in addition to conserving our city's invaluable arts, culture, and history. My policymaking has been neighborhood-centric, and as a result, there has been a significant improvement in communications by the city and in preservation standards. I will continue to be a strong advocate for District 1 neighborhoods with hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure investments right around the corner. We want to make sure that we are positioned to make this happen.
Now, Michael Montano, you get a minute, too.
Do I get two?
You get a
the
minute.
Residents of District 1 feel tremendously ignored. You know, only 1.4% of the bond is going to any part of the district north of Hildebrandt. That is not being a champion for neighborhoods. We need somebody who starts policy by listening to what the residents themselves want and then elevates those voices. That's my commitment to District 1, and I'm going to do it by allocating more funding to public safety and basic neighborhood infrastructure, and then being an advocate with a clear vision for mass transit, including rail in District 1, and leading the way on technological innovation and a true urban option downtown that will open government up to ownership by the people and give them a real voice in setting a policy agenda that they want.
Okay, and thank you all, both the candidates. Early voting is now underway, ends on Tuesday, June 6th. Election day is Saturday, June 10th. Our candidates have been incumbent Roberto Trevino and Michael Montano. District 1 is what they're running to represent, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio.